You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 773 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, we're joined by Patty Becker of Fireside Fit to discuss her rider fitness. Next, Rebecca Rigdon joins us, and we hear all about her World Breeding Championships in Verden, Germany, and her fundraiser to get there. This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
I've been missing you. I've been missing everybody. How's everybody doing?
Crazy.
Right? It is summer.
Have you been showing?
Well, girl, I went to my first horse show. I did it. I took Forever Rock Me, or Rocky. If you guys are new to the show, welcome. But if you have been following along, this is the horse that I got in Denmark in December. I looked for quite a while to find him, and I got him, and he came to Florida. And, you know, every time you import a horse, and maybe we should do a topic on this, Megan, on another day. Importing a horse, it really takes a while. Like anytime anybody gets a horse and they have to start showing, like I feel like sometimes if they import well, it's great. And then other times, especially if they're younger and they don't import well, it takes a while to get them settled and ready to go. So that's a little bit with Rocky. Like he actually was fine, but he came to Florida and got skin funk and had some ulcer stuff and just stuff and nothing terrible. And I decided, I was like, okay, I'm going to finally go to a horse show. I just finally was like, okay, Reese, you've got to do it. Cause I find the first horse show, I don't know how you feel, Megan, it's always the hardest for me.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. It's just hard. You kind of just have to suck it up and go. So I have to give a shout out to my mom because you know, it's summer and a lot of my girls are out of town, and my head girl, it was her day off. So, and that was the one day I could show. And I was like, okay. So I called my mom, who hasn't been to a horse show. I mean, she's been a horse show, but I made her work.
Yeah.
She owns a horse. I'm like, sorry. She helps me own him. And I was like, sorry, you got to go with me. And it was great. We had so much fun. But I just, some tips that I was trying to think of, some tips as we went through the process that I could share. I think the biggest thing that you need to do is, first of all, we had done a lot of trailer work with him. Mm-hmm. So the trailer wasn't as much the issue of on and off of the trailer. So that was good. Like I knew he would import well. I knew he would go on the trailer well, which was great. So he was good doing that. And then, you know, it was at the horse park, which can be a very difficult venue.
Very.
But thankfully it was a really good weekend at the horse park. Like it's the quietest recognized show we have, which is really helpful. So we went to that recognized show and it was quiet. It's like the only thing that happens at the horse park that weekend. So, and I also gave myself a lot of time. I was able to go and like set all my stall up and have all this stuff ready. Cause I'm not like a wing it kind of girl. And I know it shocks everyone if you know me, but I need everything like lined up. So I went and I got my packet and I knew, you know, what ring we were in. So I did all that extra stuff so that I knew exactly where we were going when I brought him. I knew where the stalls were. I knew all of that. So that was great. Like I brought him in. He needs to have a little bit of time to settle. Cause I had also taken him off property. This wasn't his first like off property go, which was good. So, you know, I'd taken him off the property. I've done all that. So this was like, okay, now we're really going to go to horse show. And actually we got there and it was going to storm. So it was kind of good for me because I had to like get going. Like I would have lingered and my mom's like, okay, come on. Like we gotta go. So, I'm a firm believer in a lunge line. I love a lunge the first time out.
Oh yeah.
So I just had a little lunge and he was great. And I had my mom and, you know, I'm a fan of a of walking around on a lunge line. You know what I mean? Like, no problem. So she had the lunge line if I needed her, and she was close, but he was super, super good. So I was so proud of him, and we had a good score. We got a qualifying score. He was a little tense in the walk, which nothing terrible. But like a huge dump truck came by. I was like, oh goodness. But he was good about it. So it was a great experience. And, I had a couple students, but I also made sure it was kind of quiet so that I had like full attention on him, if that makes sense.
Oh, total sense. 'Cause you can't be distracted.
No.
Although usually I am the first show.
Yes, I know. Well, and I have the luxury that we have shows here, and then I have horses that show in Florida. So I was able to do that, which was great. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I only had a couple students, and they were wonderful and knew kind of what was going on. So it worked out well.
Oh, that's perfect. I am so glad you got out there.
Yeah. And it is tough. I mean, it's hard to get out there. And I was too. I was glad. So I hadn't shown Megan. I mean, it had been a long time because I just, for various reasons, I had horses showing last year, but I didn't show them. So, but it was fine. Like, it was all good. Mm-hmm. Big Mike showed with a young rider. And so I hadn't been in the ring in a long time. So I also like literally had to make sure where my pants were. I had to make sure everything fit. Everything was in good order. So that's also a tip is like, make sure before you go to the horse show that you have all that stuff worked out. So I did that too. So I had no stress. I knew where everything was. I knew what was going on. So it was good. So it was a really good experience. So I'm going again. See, this is what happens. You get the
you get addicted. But the most important question is, what color was your coat? You know, now that we can ride in colors.
You know what? I am not that exciting. I'm a navy girl. And I have boots that match. So I had my navy coat.
You had to look beautiful with the gray.
It looked really pretty. Yeah. I love navy. I mean, my boots match and all that kind of stuff. So that was really, really awesome. And so, yeah, it was great. So, and my coats fit and all the things. So, yeah, I haven't gotten into the colors. You're more into the colors than I am, but I'm not that into the colors. So,
yeah, I've branched out, but it's been fun to see all the different colors out there.
Yeah.
And what people choose with various horses. So, yeah. And of course, now I have a black horse. So anything goes with black.
Yeah. I know. And the gray, the navy looks really pretty with the gray. You know, I could get a gray coat if I really wanted to invest in it, but
I think that's too much. I think navy. I want to see some pictures. I bet you look beautiful.
Yes, yes. I have a great picture of my mom too, and which is really pretty. So I'll have to put that up on the show notes of Rocky and my mom and I. We had a great time. It was a special. Ended up being a special show for us. So yeah, it was really fun. So Megan, what have you been up to, girl?
I have been actually going to some clinics.
Oh, tell.
Yeah. So I have my new sale horse and I need to get him out and also prep for more shows. And I took a lesson with Scott Hassler, who, mm-hmm. you know, he's amazing. And so that was really fun because it was a private clinic. And love so that. I think that's really important to talk about as professionals. Like you just don't feel pressured, right? And you can just really go and work. I feel like it's a very supportive environment, and Scott is very, very supportive. I really enjoy working with him. And then actually today I just got back from a clinic. I had never been to this farm. It was 2 hours away, so I had to take him 2 hours, and it was Suzanne Von Dietz. Have you ever worked with her?
She's really cool.
Yeah.
She is cool. A lot of body work.
Yes. So I very much enjoyed that. And there were auditors, right? So it was a very different environment, although I found the people, I knew a lot of the people, very supportive, but yet again, much busier than the previous clinic. And so, you know, just building, it's like going to a first show, right?
Yep.
Like now there's a speaker and now there's people moving and now there's a truck going by and trying to focus on working with someone new, right? Like, oh, what is she trying to teach me? Like, I don't understand this concept, or maybe I do. And I just had some really great moments also working on breath work with her. So if anyone ever gets a chance, definitely go and check her out. And I don't know if you had her for the book club. She has a book. I cannot remember the title at the very moment, but I'll send you a picture of it, and maybe the book is good for the book club. So
yeah, I love it. No, that's so cool. No, and I think it's really important when I think when instructors go, like we have our team, and Scott, you know, is my personal coach, but I know you've worked with Scott a lot too. Mm-hmm. And so it is a little bit like going to a friendly environment, but I think that's really important of clinics. There are times that it's nice to have them not open to the public. And yes. I don't think anybody should take offense to that. It's just, especially with professional riders, you know, there's a level of, you can just get into things that maybe somebody wouldn't necessarily, not that it's, again, you're not hiding anything. That's not what we're saying. Right. It's just when there are people watching professional riders, there's some level of like, oh my gosh, there's somebody going to be worried that I'm learning something or learning new. And when you go to a clinic, that's what you're doing. And mm-hmm. you want to work with my coach. Usually when Scott comes to my farm, it's also very private because I want to work with my coach. It's kind of like working out. I don't really want to work out in a group because I'd be self-conscious about working out. I just want to work out with my coach. And I know that they're not going to make fun of me. <You know? laughs> but it's the same kind of mindset, right?
The focus. The focus
yeah, you
is
focus
different.
A little bit better. You know, you can work on some problems that, you know, maybe you don't want the general public to know you have trouble with a change or whatever.
Yeah.
And we don't always have a lot of opportunities for training. So I think that's important with coaches, you know, and allowing people to not think that it's anything's wrong. It's just people are able to coach. Like you said, going to learn something new with a new instructor, with a new horse, for anybody, that's intimidating. So I think that's important to know and respect when somebody does have a closed clinic. It's just because people want the privacy to work on some things, and especially as professional riders. So I love it. I totally respect either way. And mostly now when I have clinics, they're pretty private. But I appreciate when somebody does that too.
Me too. But it was a really great experience. Awesome. Definitely confidence building. Yeah. And I did learn how to breathe better. So thank you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. And I've seen a couple lectures with her, and same thing. Like, she's amazing. So she's sometimes hard to get. She lives in Israel, doesn't she?
Yeah. And she's only coming to the United States for 3 tours.
Right.
And so she's also in very much high demand, so hard to get in. So again, and I had wanted her to come to my farm like 10 years ago for a clinic.
Yeah.
And I just could never get her. So yeah. I was like, I'm going. I don't care where it is.
That's so cool.
It's close. And so I'm very glad I did. So definitely anyone listening, if you get a chance, branch out and do the things you want to do.
Yes, I love it so much. This is so cool. Well, we have a great show. We're going to get into it now. We're going to have a quick break from Kentucky Performance Products, and we're going to come back with Patricia Becker, and she's going to talk about her Fireside Fitness, and I think everyone's going to enjoy. Summer Games Electrolytes. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes in fluid as he sweats, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can be a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Research shows that electrolytes can help regulate nerve and muscle function and maintain healthy fluid balance. Summer Games Electrolytes is formulated to replenish electrolytes and trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats, regardless of the season. It also stimulates the thirst response, so he or she continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Feed and supplements, you bet. Vaccines and dewormers, got them. Halters and helmets, in stock. Prescription medications, yep. And approved by your veterinarian. Your horse's favorite treats and toys? Of course. All these and more ship straight to your barn, fast and free for orders over $49. You can always count on Chewy to keep your barn stocked and your horse happy. Start shopping today at chewy.com/equine.
Well, tonight we are so excited to have Patty Becker. She's an international dressage rider and trainer, and we've been friends a long time. Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've been watching on Facebook what you've been up to along with riding, because you're an amazing rider as well. But tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've started.
So I'm a long-term, a long-time dressage rider. I've been competing at the international level for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, something like that now. And I have always been involved in some sort of physical fitness, or been in the gym a little bit here or there. And but about 10 years ago, I really started noticing some of my body starting to break down a little bit, and that I needed some support, some strength support to help maintain my body if I wanted to continue riding at the level that I was competing at and training at. So I started working with a really great strength coach, and it just opened my eyes to how much fitness can improve your riding, help your horses, and, you know, try to help you stay comfortable and increase your longevity in the sport.
So I have a question. How did you find that it helped your riding? Because I was always on the thought of like, wow, I've ridden 7 horses today. Why do I need to work out, Patty?
You know, that's a great question. And riding 7 horses does keep you fit to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But in the same way that repetitive cardio actually can break down your body, you can end up, you see a lot of people that run or do really repetitive steady state cardio work, they eventually will end up with breakdown in their body. And because it's a lot of repetitive motion, and that's actually a lot of what we do. It's very repetitive, right? You know, sitting in the saddle, walk, trot, and canter, same position. And you know, it's also structurally taxing on our bodies, right? On our joints and tendons and ligaments. And so to be a better rider, I feel like you have to be in less pain or less discomfort, because that can happen from riding. And, you know, we have overuse in the joints, and the back gets stiff, or the hips get stiff, or the shoulders get tight. And by counteracting it with strength training, we actually make the muscles stronger, and they support our skeleton better. It allows us to sit in the saddle better and improve our communication with the horse.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I'm listening intently too, because, you know, over the last few years in my 40s, I can feel this. And I think we all have to spend more time and attention to our bodies. And I mean, myself, I have the most trouble with my hips. And I actually see that now with a lot of my riders. Is that pretty common for riders?
Yeah, hip pain can be, and hip, not even, not just pain, but tightness, yeah, or weakness is very problematic for a lot of people. The glute med, which is a teeny tiny muscle, you know, we so often hear about the glute maximus, the bigger muscles in the glutes. The glute med really has a lot of effect on the hips, and is very undertrained. And it is often not very strong, and actually sometimes gets quiet and won't even fire when we need it to. Which causes other pieces of our hips, other mechanisms to take over and overuse itself. And then that's when you get pulling and you get tightness in the hips that doesn't allow us to move with the horse the way we would like to.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you work out in a week? Strength train, that is.
4 days a week for about an hour.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, to me, that's still a commitment of time, but it's not a crazy commitment of time. I think that's one of the barriers to entry, don't you think, of people that are like, oh my God, I'm at work, I'm riding, I'm keeping my house, I'm doing all the things, and then I have to work out too.
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk about that as well? Because that's, I think, huge for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think even 3 days a week for people is, you know, especially for someone who is a, you know, an adult amateur or even a junior rider that wants to, you know, maximize their body use and for strength and as well as for health while they're riding. I think 3 times a week can even be really beneficial. An hour is really what you need if you're not socializing in the gym, if you're getting your workout, you're sticking with your rest periods. That is really all you need in terms of for growth and for strength development. It's pretty widely accepted. Most people overtrain. And especially the other thing I want to say is too, oftentimes people think when they're going into the gym and they're seeing people in there working out 5 or 6 times a week. And sometimes you see people like that are, they seem like they're in excellent shape and they can be, but oftentimes if they're training for bodybuilding or they're just training for aesthetics, they're only training a body part at a time or a couple body parts for hypertrophy. And hypertrophy meaning for like the look of the muscle, you know, muscle growth development, which is not always, that's not really what we're looking for as riders. We're looking for strength, mobility, control, and with to a certain extent, some aerobic capacity. And for that, you really only need 3 times a week, up to an hour. I mean, I've even seen my students that have gone in and done strength training with my coach get a ton of benefit from twice a week.
And do you also recommend like yoga or Pilates for flexibility?
I do. I absolutely do. I'm not anti-yoga or anti-Pilates at all. Mm-hmm. I do think this is just a personal preference. Obviously yoga is a little bit different than Pilates. I think yoga classes are great or practicing yoga on your own for mm-hmm. stretching. I think it has great value. I tend to myself take a mobility day where I don't do yoga. My personality is I just don't always jive with yoga, although mm-hmm. I have done it and have practiced it. It's just, you know, where my mind is sometimes. So I do a mobility stretching day always once a week, but it's not what I would call yoga. Pilates, I think, especially if you can do either one-on-one Pilates or like small, like class Pilates where you have 3 to maybe 5 people tops and where it's geared somewhat to each individual. I often think Pilates studios with a lot of reformers, and I think that way very similarly with a lot of strength classes type of things. I think oftentimes bad form is used and it can actually be detrimental for an individual, especially if they're perpetuating a problem that they already have. They have a weak right side. Well, then they're going to compensate with their left side. And unless they have somebody looking at them to say, hey, that's, you know, you're not doing it. Oftentimes they're trying to keep up with the class, which if they're working out on their own or with a trainer, I think they're more likely to try to pay attention to what their own body is saying. So I'm not saying for physical fitness or something like that, a class can be bad, but I think if you're really trying to do something to improve your riding and improve your structural, like the evenness of your body and not just, an aerobic fitness or like toned, so you know you feel good about your body, which is all good as well. We're talking about specifically for riding. I feel like that's the better way to go in terms of Pilates.
I think that's a very good point. Do you require all of your students to strength train?
I don't require it. I encourage it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have had a couple experiences with students who have gone to different trainers, meaning strength trainers or workout coaches, and it doesn't. Sometimes the coaches aren't actually all that great. So unless they can find a qualified coach that is going to give them proper instruction, then I mean, I certainly don't require it. You know, I mean, I really encourage it. And a lot of things can even be done by themselves, right? Like I've even shown some like exercises that are, you know, with just body weight, or you can do them with a couple dumbbells at home. You don't necessarily need a coach. So I do very much encourage it. But I really try to make sure I encourage correct training rather than just any training.
Yeah. And go ahead, Reese.
No, I think that makes total sense, right? It's just like, you know, just like a dressage instructor, right? There's, it's important to find the right person and someone that's really qualified and is able to help you. So that makes total sense. And you're also starting some classes, right? You talked about that right before we got on air.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So we're starting, you know, a couple of years ago, about, well, maybe even 5 years ago now. I've been thinking about this and tossing this stuff around in my head for a long time. And we tried it was called Structural Balance for the Rider, and we got just a great response to it. And we even did it twice because we couldn't fit as many people in as we wanted to. And we just weren't in the right place. Jessica and I, with our own, you know, training and lives and jobs and everything, to really be able to pursue it. And so what we want to do is we're offering that class again. We are going to offer, we have several classes we've come up with that we're going to offer, one on mobility, one on strength training that also helps you maintain length to your muscles, so you don't end up getting too tight with the strength training. We have several different ideas that we're going to go with, and we're going to video those and put them up on YouTube. So people that can't attend the classes can hopefully gain some benefit out of them.
Awesome. How do I sign up for it? How do I find out about the classes for someone who's listening?
So if you can follow my Facebook or my Instagram page, we've been putting them up on that, as well as the Fireside Farm page. We will have our YouTube channel will be up and running by the end of this week. And we will have all of the small videos that we have on Facebook and Instagram as well up there for people that want little reminders and don't want to necessarily go back through Facebook posts or Instagram posts.
I love this. I think it's so great. No, we're really excited. It's been fun to watch you guys develop this. And that's why I've been watching, because I'm like, you did one about hip stretching. And I was like, so I had to write or get off. I was like, you and I are going to do this stretch. Because I think that's also super important. Like people don't pay attention and you're rushing to ride. And then the next thing you know, you're like, hey, did you stretch today? And they're like, no. So I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. We actually do, Jessica and I do some combination lessons too, where I will watch a rider and evaluate kind of how they're interacting with their horse on a personal level. You know, what does their horse do that makes them ride the way they are, as well as what does their body do, you know, that kind of influences their horse. And then Jess and I'll have a quick little talk, and she can work with them a little bit and try to kind of break up their body a little bit and figure out what maybe needs to be released or what needs to be activated. And then we put them back on the horse and I work with them a little more, and hopefully we see some differences. And having done that, then we can kind of come up with a few individual stretches that are really, or activating exercises that are really tailored to you, so that before you get on, you can do, as you said, a few hip stretches, or maybe the calves are really tight, or maybe the shoulders, the chest is really tight, something that will help you specifically. That's not going to take a half an hour before you get on every time. You know?
No, I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Patty. Like, but could you maybe, before we go, let you go, give us some example of like a stretch you would recommend somebody to do before they get on.
My absolute favorite stretch, that I do all the time are split squats. It's a, you know, you really stretch out your hip flexor. You activate your glutes a little bit. You can even feel some stretch in your calves. And it really gets everything moving in a good way before you get on the horse.
Well, that's awesome. Fantastic. Well, Patty, thank you so much. Tell us again how we can find you online.
Just follow me on Facebook at Patricia Becker, or PBEC74 on Instagram, or Fireside Farm.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It was great talking to you.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together the top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including five-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, International Grand Prix dressage competitor Anna Baffini, Olympic dressage team bronze medalist Laura Graves, and many more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit equestrianplus.com to subscribe.
Well, now I hope everyone enjoys our discussion with Rebecca Rigdon. Well, tonight we have an extra special treat. I have been trying to get our friend Rebecca Rigdon on for years. She's an international rider, dressage rider, competitor, and she is going to the World Breeding Championships in Verden, Germany on Stay Cool in a couple months. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. We've been trying to do this for years,
and I am so excited. We got you because you're heading to the World Breeding Championships, and we want to hear all about Stay Cool. First of all, though, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a dressage trainer out here in San Diego. I grew up in Kansas City, where I first met Reese, a little Midwest girl, and worked on a breeding farm. We bred Holsteiners. And, oh my gosh, I don't know. That seems like an eternity. I've been riding for like 40 years or something.
Yeah. We don't do really math anymore. Yeah. We're good. We're past the math part. We don't do that.
Perfect. Perfect. Do I have to tell you my weight? Cause I don't want to do that either.
No.
but yeah, so been training young horses up to Grand Prix for decades now and have this lovely, lovely young horse that I was very fortunate to acquire training a horse up to Grand Prix, and I traded for a really fabulous young stallion who's now a lovely gelding, and yeah, then we're going on this adventure together to World Breeding Championships, which is pretty great.
I love that. Now, this is not your first time, right?
This is my third time, and it's my fourth invitation. My first invitation was with a mare, a Dutch mare, that was just not confident enough and not ready. She would have just melted. It would not have been the right thing to do for her. So I didn't do it then, but this is my third time going, third time in a row, actually. And I think that I'm the first American to do that. So I think I'm pretty excited about it. So hopefully it doesn't go south because I have a 5-year-old, but he's pretty great. So
you're the bravest girl ever. Just saying, like, you're amazing. That's why I love talking to you.
I'm like, well, I hope we just have steering. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, massive congratulations to you. Can you tell us, for anyone who's not listening, what are the World Breeding Championships and what is it like to compete at them?
It is. So the way that I think about it is it's like a yearly Olympics for the top young horses in the world. Mm-hmm. And they invite so many people and so many young horses from every country. And your country, depending on how big your breeding program is, dictates how many horses you can have invited to the show. So that's why Germany, for instance, is such a small country, but they have one of the biggest breeding programs. So you have a lot of obviously top quality young horses from Germany, and you have a higher numbers from there. And then the US, we take two from each age division. So two in the 5-year-old, if they qualify, two in the 6-year-old, again, if they qualify, and then two in the 7. And it is, I have to tell you, I love the Olympics. I aspire to compete in the Olympics, but going to young horse to World Breeding Championships is fascinating to me because you see all of the top riders that you see in the Olympics representing European countries, like, you know, Edward Gall and Isabel Wirth, or when Edward was really riding, and Hans-Peter Minderhund, and you see these really, really top people, Lottie Fry, I mean, the list goes on and on. And it's a great way to make sure that your training is really correct in comparison with the rest of the world and these top countries in Europe that have so much success at the Olympics. But you're really seeing, if you sit down and really put pen to paper, you're really seeing the future Olympic horses getting their start, and the riding is spectacular because they are also young horses and they can be a bit unpredictable. So I, quite frankly, it excites me even a little bit more than the Olympics because of that. It is just, it's quite the event to attend. And it also, I think, in my opinion, I always come home feeling like I ride a little bit better because it, mm-hmm. you know, you're surrounded by people that ride better than you, then you will start to ride better. And it's also, it keeps your eye relevant on what a good young horse really is relevant to 2025 and 2024, because the quality of the horses that they're breeding every single year is going up exponentially. It's pretty incredible. It really, really, really is.
Yeah, so, and you can watch it live stream too. I mean, you can also watch it.
My horse.
Uh-huh. It is. It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I watch it live on Clip My Horse. And if I wasn't there, I sit down and I watch every single ride and, of course, pick out my favorite horses and all of that.
Yeah.
But I think it's really, really interesting. And it's very interesting. The nerd in me likes to go back and see what horses have done so well there and how well they've done in going on to International Grand Prix. And I would say 80% of them are quite successful.
Yeah.
So that's really fun to see.
That's incredible. That is great. So tell us kind of the timeline, because you're in California. Like, it's a big trip for your baby horse.
It is. We leave from LA to Brussels, and I will go with him. And then the flight is quite lovely, I have to say. It's I'll be acting as one of the grooms, and to be a groom on a flight, you know, when you don't have that many horses on the flight is quite nice. But we'll go from here, from LA to Brussels, and then from Brussels, I'll base with Ulf Müller in Hoechstrand in Germany. Ulf and Eva Müller, and that's what I did last year. The year before, I was at Castleman's, but Ulf is such a good, he's obviously, in my opinion, one of the best, or the best young horse trainer in the world. He's had the most success, like Sandro Hit, and, you know, the list of horses goes on and on and on for them. But that gets me prepared, and then I'll have like 10, 14 days there. I think it might actually be just under 2 weeks there, and then we go to the show. So, and the good thing is that, you know, it feels easier this year because I already have everything. Like, I know what I need to plan out and when, and, you know, how soon and all of that. So, yeah.
You know what to expect.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you're doing a little fundraising. Can you tell us about that?
I am doing a little fundraising. One of my clients, she was like, oh my goodness, this is going to make all the ladies' ovaries sing. I am doing a little fundraising, and I have these fabulous male friends that are some of the top dressage riders in the U.S. And so I put together a U.S. studs calendar, 15-month calendar. It showcases Stay Cool is very much a model. So it showcases Stay Cool and some of the pictures with my husband, who I think is very handsome. And then 12 other fabulous, fabulous, very handsome men that agreed to take these pictures. And some of them leave a lot to the imagination, and some of them don't. And I think it's
still PG. Does everybody know?
It's totally PG, but it is very, some of the pictures are just a little bit fireman calendar-like.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've got a couple that are Pride and Prejudice-like. And then, so yes. And I've got those calendars are available on my website, which is Rigdon and Blake stables.com, and there's an easy link. You can also go to my social media. There's a link there, and that helps because I own half of Stay Cool, and the expenses are quite high.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I have. I'm itchy. I like start itching. I'm like, oh, let's help her sell calendars. No, I mean, it's a huge undertaking. And are there any other American horses going this year?
Yes, we have Caroline Rothman going with her six-year-old. And then Hope Cooper also has another six-year-old. Hers is a six-year-old Shermer, and then Caroline's is a six-year-old secret stallion as well. No, we don't have another five-year-old, and we don't have any other seven-year-olds. The qualifying process is quite rigorous and quite hard and difficult. And so for good reason, you know, Christine Trowrig is our U.S. coach and our young horse coach. And, you know, we want to be represented. We don't want anyone overfaced, let's say that way, when we get over there. And so she has made, and along with Youssef, the qualifications are quite tough, but rightfully so. And I think it's a really, Hope and Caroline, they've got really super horses and have done quite well. So I think they've got a good team. We've got a good team there this year for sure.
I love it. I love it. Yes. It is great. And like you said, this is a very expensive proposition. And we're so excited that you have horses going again. Like you said, third year in a row is amazing. So one more time, spell out everything so we know. And so, ladies, let's help Rebecca get to the World Breeding Championships. I think we can do it. And and plus, we want you to come back on and tell us all about it and give us all the dish. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah, the calendar is up on RigdonandBlakeStables.com. And they can also get it via my Facebook page, which is just Rebecca Rigdon hyphen Blake. And you can see samples of pictures, but not all of them, because you have to get the calendar to see all of them. And it's the calendar itself is $138, which includes free shipping. And that all just goes towards helping me get Stay Cool over there and representing the United States. So I'm super excited.
Well, again, congratulations. We're going to be cheering you on, and we want to help you in every way we can. So again, thanks for representing the U.S. and doing all the hard work, but we're cheering you on. So congratulations again.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, you guys.
Well, Megan, you and I have also had to fundraise for events, and I really wanted to help Rebecca. I know she owns half this horse, and I can't imagine what it would cost, you know. Well, I can't imagine. And it's a lot of money, and she's representing our country. And I think it's so cool. So again, how I knew about it was I'm on Facebook with Rebecca Rigdon, R-I-G-D-O-N. And that's how you can find it. She's got on Facebook, she has a link, and Rebecca Rigdon. And then it's also actually, she said it's on her website as well. So you can find that RigdonBlakeStables.com. And we can help her. So I hope, ladies, let's help Rebecca out. Let's help her get to the World Breeding Championships. And Megan, we also have a book club, right?
Yeah. The name of the book is 3 Strength and Fitness Workouts for Horses by Jack Ballou, from July through September.
I love it. This Jack is awesome. I can't wait to have her on the show. She's amazing. Anne Gribbins was also wonderful. And I think everyone will love Jack. And this is a great book. And I think you'll like it as well. As always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoff, LLC, at gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the Auditor Program, found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.